With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Corvallis to Cornell, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It's a Trash Tuesday, everyone, so keep that in mind as we roll through this three-hour extravaganza. I'm sure many of you want to weigh in on the NBA playoffs, the NBA finals, the Warriors getting their second championship in 3 years, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry, and everybody else. So I want to let you know that from here until the end of the show, your phone lines are open. If you got something on your mind regarding the NBA finals, the NBA season, the NBA playoffs, or whatever, hit me up at 855-212-4CBS. Also, that'll be the number that you use for Trash Tuesday. If you want to do some trashings, feels like a good trashing day. I feel like there's a lot of trash to take out today. So with the end of the NBA season and then the end of the NHL season just a couple of nights ago, it's kind of the end of this sports season. And now we buckle in, and it's baseball, and then OTAs, training camps, and preseason football stuff. So that's 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. And as always, watch the show, the digital broadcast going on as we speak. It always does. 3 hours, and you can watch the show. How cool is that? That's also mobile-friendly, so go to watchda.com. Last night, what another huge night by Kevin Durant. KD, the Durantula, goes for 39 points, just misses 6 shots of the night, 14 of 20. He had 7 rebounds, and every time that the Cavaliers seemed to have a little momentum, had closed the gap, Kevin Durant dropped another bomb on him. KD was fantastic, the unanimous NBA Finals MVP, and it looks like that Kevin Durant, from what we know, is a pretty good dude. But there is mixed emotions, and I'm here to tell you, that's okay. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
The road to redemption has brought the Warriors back home. The Golden State Warriors are the 2017 NBA champions. Final score, Golden State 129, Cleveland 120.
To do that as a group, call us a super team. Andre Iguodala with 20 off the bench. They call us a super team, but there's been a lot of super teams that hasn't worked. And we came together and we continue to just believe in each other and we sacrificed and we champs now.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So that was Tim Ryan, Warriors Radio, Kevin Durant talking about the victory. This is obviously sweet for Durant because he's one of the best players of the NBA. He's been one of the best players of the NBA for a long time now. and he never was able to break through that glass ceiling. And Durant, when it mattered most, was fantastic. He was sensational. Kevin Durant came into this NBA Finals and in every game scored more than 30 points. In every game hit big shots. In every game was a vital cog in the fourth quarter. And again, I've always really enjoyed watching Kevin Durant play. He's always seemed pretty humble to me. He's always seemed pretty grounded for the type of superstar he is. Like LeBron, he's not getting into trouble off of the basketball court. We never hear about any crazy stories with him. I think Kevin Durant and LeBron are cut out of the same cloth. These guys were almost test tube babies in terms of being great basketball players at the highest level and making that the sole focus all of the time. And so today, I think it's impossible not to feel good for Kevin Durant and say that guy deserved it. I know last night when I watched him hoist that trophy, I said that guy has earned every part of this, because for nearly a decade, he has done everything in the NBA but just never been quite good enough to win an NBA championship. And now he's got that on his resume as well, and he'll forever have that. So I feel really good for Kevin Durant, and I think you got to appreciate how he played in this series. I think it's woefully small-minded and very myopic. It's one of those things where people just look at the last thing they saw, and that's the only thing they remember, because we have short memories in sports these days. When people say that Kevin Durant's now the best player in the world, that's still not true. I don't know if anybody noticed, but Kevin Durant was great, but LeBron James averaged a triple-double in this series against the best defensive team in basketball. And that was the secret sauce for the Warriors. Golden State was diabolical offensively. The craziest offensive weaponry we have seen in a long time, maybe ever, but they were the best regular season defensive team in basketball. So when LeBron averages a triple-double in the NBA Finals, something, by the way, that has never been done, I don't really want to hear that somehow somebody surpassed him because they had an NBA Finals championship over him. That's silliness. But Durant is deserving of the accolades, and you got to feel good for him. Here's the flip side. I'm torn about how the Warriors went about this. I'm still uncomfortable about how this thing came together and how it was assembled and how great they are and really stacking the deck against the rest of the NBA. And I think that's okay. You know, we live in such a bipolar society where it has to be one or the other. You've got to be all about the Warriors and think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread and be totally supportive and they're awesome, or you can't stand them, it's artificial, it's engineered, and they don't deserve this. And I think you have to understand that there's both sides of this. Every Warriors fan that's sitting there going, this is awesome, you're just hating, all you guys are haters, are clearly their own blind spot. Because if this was the Lakers being a championship team with 73 wins coming off back-to-back finals appearances and add Kevin Durant, Warriors fans would hate their guts and say, it's unfair, it's unfair, it's unfair. In American sports, there is a very obvious narrative that we appreciate and we respect, and that is the toil. That is the effort. That is failing before you succeed. And while LeBron did do that before he got to Miami, and Kevin Durant did do that before he got to Golden State, they didn't really do that once they joined their new teams. I mean, LeBron went right to the finals and then lost, but went to four straight NBA finals. For Kevin Durant, there was barely breaking a sweat for that team. And if you took Kevin Durant off of the Golden State Warriors, I'm sorry, they would still be right here in the NBA Finals. I don't know if they would have beaten the Cavaliers, but especially with Kawhi going down, if Zaza steps on Kawhi's ankle anyway in game one of the Western Finals against the Spurs, the Golden State Warriors are right here in the NBA Finals. So adding Kevin Durant didn't really enhance their potential. It just made them unstoppable en route to this thing. And that's where it feels artificial. I really like Kevin Durant. He's totally deserving. But the Warriors didn't need Kevin Durant to accomplish this. Kevin Durant only made them virtually impossible to stop. And so you have to be conflicted, because in sports, what are we looking for? We are looking for the balance, for a great game, for a great series where either team can win. And that never felt the case this year with Golden State. Never. It never felt like it was ever an even playing field, because you took an already great team and then added the greatest player available and arguably the second best player in the NBA and a future Hall of Famer. So in sports, if you have tilted the playing field, it's no longer that fun. And so there is this hollowness about this championship for the Warriors. There is a hollowness about having watched the NBA Finals. There's a hollowness that comes with having watched the NBA playoffs, because you knew the court was slanted. It was a tilted playing field. I'm not saying the Warriors should have said, no, Kevin, don't come here, because it would be unfair. Golden State did what it had to do, very, very sophisticated, very savvy, very smart, to have drafted the guys they did, brought in Andre Iguodala, brought in Sean Livingston, brought in their guys. JaVale McGee was very smart. You know, everything had fit. And Jerry West was a great hire. Steve Kerr's a brilliant coach. You know, I have a lot of respect for what they built before they got Kevin Durant. So I'm not saying they shouldn't have taken advantage of that. And then the salary cap spiked. They had all of this money. They could then fit Kevin Durant under it. I'm not saying the Warriors should have said no to this. I'm just saying, if you're a Warriors fan, you have to understand why this feels like a tilted playing field for the rest of the NBA. You already had a great team, and then you added the best player available, and you didn't lose until you kind of went to sleep in Game 4 of the NBA Finals. There's a conflict there. You appreciate the greatness, you appreciate Kevin Durant, you appreciate Steve Kerr, you appreciate all of that that happened with the Golden State, but you realize there's part of it that's not all that satisfying, not all that remarkable, because damn it, if you have Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, and Steve Kerr running things, you better win a championship, because if you don't, it's the biggest choke job ever. If that team didn't win a championship, it's a way bigger story than that they did. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I will say, I thought the embrace between LeBron and Kevin Durant was pretty cool last night. I think that LeBron absolutely respects KD. I don't think LeBron necessarily respects the rest of the Warriors, but I think Kevin Durant and LeBron James have had a mutual admiration for a long time. And in a lot of ways, they have lived parallel paths. KD was the number two pick overall. LeBron was the number one pick. LeBron was a couple of years earlier. But they both struggled on their original team. They both couldn't crack through. They both felt like they had to leave to be happier, to be more satisfied, to win a championship. They had heard all of the catcalls about, you're not good enough, you're not good enough, you can't elevate a team, you're a choker, you're not a big game guy, you're not clutch. Then they left to win a championship, and I think they were so satisfied with that decision when they were finally holding up that trophy that LeBron and KD have a very mutual admiration. You could see that on the floor, and also how they both spoke about one another after the game. And I thought that was a really cool part of this series. A tip of the cap for two Hall of Famers and two living legends right now. When we come back, the next question is, how long is this run going to be for Golden State? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
For brunch.
I'd like to call you George Jefferson. I told you, you're moving up.
DA.
We're going to have a nice night in the day.
On CBS Sports Radio.
When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the SuperStart battery that's an exact fit for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Golden State, your 2017 NBA champs, and the question now is, are they the 2018 NBA champs in 2019 and 2020 and beyond? Because they've got this core of guys that are all under the age of 30, and it sounds like all of those guys want to stay to win instead of chasing money, dollars, and fame elsewhere. Look, that's very admirable. If Klay Thompson doesn't want to take bigger money to go elsewhere and he wants to stick around and win, or Draymond Green the same thing, or if Kevin Durant gets two of these things in this year and next year and then doesn't feel like going anywhere else, maybe you've got this core four there forever, and that would be devastating for the rest of the league. Although Zach Lowe of ESPN wrote a very interesting story today about financially it being virtually impossible down the road to keep everybody, that if you kept all four of those guys and gave them their max deals or something close to it, that you would have a payroll with a luxury tax that approached maybe $500 million, $440 million by the time 2021 came along, and that seems highly unlikely that any ownership, no matter how much money they were printing and how many championships they won, would want to spend $440 million on their payroll a year. So that might be where this thing breaks up, but you've got to realize that that's not for a couple more seasons. That you have at least next season where they're all together. And then that next summer after that, in 2018, they might start making some of those decisions. Okay, do we trade Klay for younger, cheaper pieces? Do we trade Klay or trade Draymond for draft picks, cheaper labor because we have Steph and KD? And those types of things could happen. I think Steve Kerr could retire this summer, could retire next summer. I mean, Steve Kerr's health issues, if his back is that terrible that he's got to miss most of the postseason, makes you wonder if he goes, look, I'm not going to top this. I've won as a player. I've won as a coach. I've coached a team that won 73 games. I've coached two teams that won rings. Let me do something that's less taxing on my back and my health and my family. That could happen. And it is possible that simply by winning, guys do get sick of not being the alpha males, that there's only so much everybody can share. You know, that happened to the Chicago Bulls by the time 98 rolled around. Michael was taxed. He was gassed. He was walking away. Scottie Pippen had kind of wanted to be the man for a while and really never got a full shot. Had one full season, 93-94, then a partial season the following year to be the man. So he wanted to go find his riches elsewhere, like Houston, like Portland, to be the guy outside of Michael's shadow. Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf didn't want to keep that whole thing together with Phil Jackson. They said, we don't want to pay everybody. This thing is broken up. And if you go back and read pieces done about that 97-98 Bulls team en route to their sixth championship, it was one of those feelings like this is coming to an end. But that was after six championships. I mean, we are at the very beginning of what the Warriors could accomplish. So what I'm saying is this window is not closing anytime soon. But it doesn't necessarily mean it lasts forever. And I think that we'll have the Warriors as champions or playing in the NBA Finals for the next 4 years, or it would take massive upsets for them to not make the NBA Finals. I think once we get out of that four-year window, then anything is possible, and guys are getting older, and finances could come home to roost, and things could happen. I mean, the other thing that could derail the Warriors is simply exhaustion. That Golden State has played into the final game of the season for three straight years now. And even though they're young, it's just hard to remain focused, to not get derailed, to not get pushed off course, to not get fatigued, to not have a couple of bad games. You know, Steve Kerr admitted that Kevin Durant gave new life to this roster and that he doesn't know if they would have been back here without KD. I think they would have been. I didn't see anybody in the West that could knock them off unless Kawhi stayed healthy and LaMarcus Aldridge actually woke up, and he never did. But if you keep the same group of guys together, it is tough to keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. When you look back on the Lakers of Shaq and Kobe, you say, well, why didn't they win five or six in a row instead of just three? Egos got in the way. And ultimately, exhaustion did as well. That fourth year after they won three in a row, they did not push all the way through to the NBA Finals. There might have been some complacency. Certainly, Shaq and Kobe weren't in a healthy spot. They then added Peyton and Karl Malone to go for one last run at things. Maybe that gave them a little bit of juice. But those things can happen as well. However, you've got, on the other side, the Cavaliers, who have gone to three straight NBA Finals, and you would peg them for a fourth as well. I don't think that they've gotten complacent or tired or fatigued, and that's a bunch of old guys. So could it get blown off course? Yeah. It would be way more interesting if we saw the Warriors not be totally dominant and vulnerable. But I think this window's the next 4 years for the Warriors, and they could win a championship each of these next 4 years. My man Bruce is in D.C., listening online at CBSSportsRadio.com. What's up, Bruce?
All right, D.A., we had some technical difficulty. They eradicated CBS Sports Radio off of 1580.
No. Well, you got me on the stream, which is even clearer, right?
Well, right now, so I've got the Baltimore station on.
1300? Okay. All right.
Yeah, but it's not as clear as 1580, though.
I got you. All right. So what you got on last night?
So I gathered that, I don't know what the difference would have been when J.R. Smith hit that almost Grandma Larry Johnson type of three with the and one, and he missed the free throw. And when Kevin Durant chased that ball down, to me, it looked like Kevin Durant's foot was on that out-of-bounds line when he saved that ball back. I think the Cavs should have got another possession right there.
All right, but ultimately, I mean, that's a 9-point win last night. And one thing that, you know, you saw throughout the entire series was that Golden State simply was a better basketball team on both ends of the floor almost every night. Game four was an anomaly because the Cavaliers hit everything that they hoisted up. But for 48 minutes of the four other games, Golden State was the better basketball team. And so that's why they totally deserve to win this. And that's why they were not robbed. And that's why you cannot get on the officials. And that's why you cannot say that this was unfair in any way, shape, or form. Golden State out-executed the Cleveland Cavaliers in four of the five games for the entirety of those games. And yes, Cleveland had a lead in game three. And so you could say, well, the Cavaliers were the better team in that game up until the final 5 minutes. But I also thought in that game, Cleveland's effort was very inconsistent. And that some possessions and some segments of that game, they were on point and they were crisp on the pick and roll and they would close out defensively and they would challenge the Warrior shooters. And then other times, they were lackadaisical and they let Golden State get up easy points and they let them get open shots. And then certainly down the stretch, that offense bogged down and they did not play hard defense. So when push came to shove in this series, it wasn't about anything more than Golden State was a better basketball team. When it mattered, certainly in game three, but all of games one, games two, and games five. When we come back here on the show, a little Trash Tuesday. Let's take out the trash. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
open now for brunch.
I'll take that. Can that be my sound effect for the show?
Yeah, sure.
Sick.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, check it out. If you want to get the best of the show and watch it, go to our YouTube page, CBS Sports Radio. Every single day we upload the best rants, the best takes, the best opinions, the best snippets. It's a quick DA show Cliff's Notes, and you can watch it on YouTube via our digital webcast. And so just search CBS Sports Radio on YouTube every day. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Why do you need it today? Because it's a Trash Tuesday. We're taking out the trash. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Let's kick up the music.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday. My favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
Okay, Mraz, we begin with you. Lead us off. Who are you trashing?
I have a couple different ways I can go. I guess, out of respect for my family, I gotta trash myself. Because on...
Interesting.
On Saturday...
What a twist.
On Saturday, I received a surprise party from my family. Now, you might date back Trash Tuesday about a month ago, where it was actually my birthday, and I decided to trash my family for not caring about my birthday, not throwing me any party, and the stunt was on me. It was a month later. They say they've been planning this for a long time. The details are out that it has been planned for a long time. I'm still a little suspect whether it was thrown together after that Trash Tuesday, but nonetheless... They did the right thing by me, so I will tip my cap and say I have to trash myself for trashing them prematurely.
You've been trashed.
Now, rumor has it that they actually played your Trash Tuesday trashing at the party over the loudspeakers.
Yeah, the DJ was setting up, playing some nice music, and then they played the Trash Tuesday, which was very nice. Andrew Bogus got a lot of run at the party there.
Nice.
And it bellowed out throughout the whole neighborhood, which was kind of embarrassing because... There were several moments where I think in my radio moment, I said a lot of harsh things about my father specifically, caring more about his daughters than he does me.
And his new fence.
And it just like, and there were aunts and uncles unaware of the trashing. They were looking at me like I was a real piece of garbage. So yeah. I just grabbed two Coronas, started double fisting, and went on with my night.
Bogus, you were at said party.
Yes.
How uncomfortable was it when the original Trash Tuesday was being played?
You know what? There was more laughing during that sequence. The awkwardness was when Sean came in and was surprised, and there were a couple of cursed chants in his direction. His sister called him a dirty name.
Okay.
And then after we sang happy birthday, she said, "You're still a blank."
I gotcha.
A lot of angst over the way Sean handled things, and I think put his football game, like most of us would, ahead of the party, but still the family didn't really seem to appreciate that.
Yeah, so he deserves to trash himself today.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You've been trashed.
Terrible job, Mraz.
A reluctant trash, as you could tell by me.
Terrible job. Andrew Bogus, you're next up. Who are you trashing?
Well, let's go back to that very same fateful Saturday night at the Mraz compound. You've been there, DA.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people there. A lot of people like Sean want free food and beer, so it was crowded.
Yeah.
There were only two bathrooms in the Mraz house, which most, that's, par for the course. But for the amount of people there, not a lot of toilets. So a couple of gentlemen... including Sean himself, were using the back bushes in the house as a place to relieve themselves.
Now,
that's fine. Nature calls. But I'm going to trash the gentleman who actually looked like a bizarro version of our colleague Tom DeCelestino. Beard, kind of reddish hair.
Which guy is that? That wasn't Big Red.
No. I believe he's talking about my sister's friend John.
He had a plaid button-down shirt on.
Who also did not leave a gift either. But go on.
Okay.
So, most gentlemen went back there and put themselves like in the bush to give some privacy. He thought just being behind the pool was good enough. So I just happened to turn to my right at one point, and there's him with his business out, doing his business on like the side of Sean's pool in all his glory. So and I was prepared to see a lot.
Yeah.
DA at Sean's party, but not that.
Taking out the trash.
The Babylon Block Party is an amazing event. Parties at Mraz's house, always an amazing event. But there is sometimes that the company there, that the guests there, really, I think, take it too far. Probably because, Mraz, you take it too far.
Yeah, it's a lot like a Raiders home game.
No stabbing, though, thankfully.
Yeah, like, your backyard's not that big. you can definitely see all corners of the backyard. And you were relieving yourself in your own backyard next to your house?
I figured I had to mark the new fence. That was kind of the thing
going
with there.
Oh, God. And so all these people just, like, take their cue from you. And
if Sean's doing it, I can do it.
It's just a nightmare. God, just a nightmare. Oh, my God.
You're so trashy.
All right, Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
You know, it's bad enough we have to pay for parking around here. And I do my due diligence, and I pay the meter. I pay it every day. And, of course, yesterday I get a ticket. And it's not for not paying the meter. It's for the meter ticket being the wrong way on the dashboard.
The wrong way? What do you mean?
It apparently not visible to the attendant.
Was it flipped over? Like, it wasn't face up?
Well, when I got to the car, it was face up. So there's a little bit of discrepancy there.
What does that mean?
I think that it was a guy out there trying to get his quota and trying to make everyone's lives a living hell, because he made my life a living hell. And I've had tickets throughout the whole week from New York City, from Long Island, from Long Beach. Enough already. My car's been through enough.
Yeah. So
animals, tickets, enough.
Yeah, really.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
Poor Bilotti's car. He got the possum, $1,500 worth of damage. Now you're getting tickets, even though you bought the parking ticket and you put it in the dashboard and it was right side up. They're saying it wasn't visible?
Wasn't visible. It was the wrong way. And I think I have a case. I think I could fight it, but who knows?
Boy, you got some bad karma. Bad karma. Oh,
so there's next week's trash.
Epic trash job.
Bogus just handed me a picture. Was this Mirage or
yeah,
this the gentleman?
No, that's Sasquatch and or Sean in the bushes. Yeah,
it's just disgusting, reprehensible behavior.
What are you going to do? Wait on a line that's an hour long, or am I going to enjoy the party? I'm going to enjoy the party.
You know, I also met one of your friends, a taller guy, who had said he broke the toilet in your basement earlier in the day, and he was proud of it. He was like, I clogged that toilet this afternoon. I'm like, okay. Like, he was waiting for me to, like, shake his hand or something.
There's a lot to be proud of there on Elmwood Road.
I've got a double trashing. I will start with said Mraz's birthday party. The night before the hugest game of his life, going against the small blocks and Mr. Six, a video is anonymously texted to me. Okay? And so I'm going, who is this from? It has no caption on it, no text with it. It's just a video. I hit play and I was appalled. I couldn't believe that this was a human being I rely upon for my professional career. I was appalled beyond belief that this was the behavior of an adult male. It was disgusting. I felt like Joe Buck when Randy Moss pulled down his pants, okay? I thought it was gross. I thought it was disgusting. Here's Mraz telling me all week, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to get lit up. I'm not going to get drunk. I'm not going to be hungover for the game. This is too big a game, too big a game, too big a game. And I get a video sent to me of Mraz with Biggie Smalls playing in the background, dancing around as his pants fall off his waist and around his ankles. Then with what looked to be a woman on the ground, I am assuming it was your wife, Danielle, you begin shaking your big fat rear end,
Chubbo,
in her face as Biggie plays, and you have nothing but boxers separating your butt from her face. You are going down lower and lower and lower as though it was a limbo until you're actually sticking your rear end on her face. She is yelping for help. Nobody seems to be helping her. You then are so drunk, you lose your balance and fall on the ground. You are on your side, still writhing and sticking your buttocks in her face.
Even if you're fat.
I don't know why this went on for so long before somebody called some type of services or somebody stepped in to save this woman. But I just saw this and said, you want me to take you seriously the next day at a football game? You want me to rely on you to book guests for this award-winning show? You want me to treat you as a professional? And this is what I see sent to me anonymously, who I'm only assuming has to be TMZ Sports. I posted it. And what do you know? 4,000 views later, everybody now knows that Mraz was embarrassing that night. And then the next day, dropped two passes, one that led to the Mr. 680-yard touchdown the other way, one that was bobbled in the air and led to another interception. I was just disgusted by the behavior of one Sean Taylor Mraz.
Hot trash.
What do you have to say for yourself?
I had to take the edge off. There was a big game the next morning.
Was that Danielle on the ground?
Yes, it was, thankfully. Wasn't sure immediately it was her, though.
What led her to being on the ground under you?
She tripped while dancing. My pants fell down. I saw her down.
A match made in heaven, huh? It's
how they'll make their first child as well.
And so why did your pants fall down?
Because the song earlier was some kind of song that involved, you know, take your shirt off. So my shirt had come off, and I took my belt off, and I was dancing with Danielle provocatively. Is that a word?
Yes. Yeah.
And I had the belt around her neck, and we were having a good time.
Holy.
Then when they queued up the biggie, and that came over, I never put the belt back on. And, you know, with all my weight loss, the pants dropped.
Oh, God. And then you didn't even attempt to pull them back up.
At that point, you're in the mode. You're just dancing, having a good time. I could have been butt naked. I was going to have a good time.
Bogus, were you?
No, I left. Sean,
you were not present for
to
that.
His credit, tried really hard to hang on from like 7:30 to like 8:10 to be a good soldier. I left at like 10:30 and the sloppiness had started.
So by 8:15 he'd already given up.
Yeah, people were pouring, you know, shots into his beer or just coming over and saying we're taking a shot, and more than once just don't let my teammates see me.
Oh,
so
nice.
he tried relatively valiantly, but yeah, he had no chance.
Body the Baladi, were you there for this exploit?
No, I bolted with Bogus. We both left at the same time.
Yeah. Thank God you guys got out of there.
Took the early bus out. I will say this, though. You know, Sean, his family was at first mad that he wasn't partying because of the game on Sunday. Then when he let loose, they were mad at him for that, too. I actually kind of felt bad for him. Like, there was a no-win situation there.
Yeah, it was.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
But there's no excuse for that behavior. None whatsoever.
That worked out, right? We won the game.
That's your Trash Tuesday. You can watch that video in question. It's like the Zapruder film. It was sent to me, TMZ Sports Style, anonymously. I still don't know who sent it to me. It was like somebody that just wanted to get this public. And I said, fine, I'll make it public. We'll embarrass the hell out of Mraz because this is just reprehensible human behavior. That's at facebook.com/TheDAShow. Just scroll before the 7 videos of the Long Island Flag Football League game that garnered nearly 500,000 audience reach over the last couple of days. Nice job by you guys. Last night, the Golden State Warriors end up taking the NBA Finals 4-1. And Kevin Durant was sensational in this game. Sensational in this series. Totally deserving of the NBA Finals MVP. But as I opened up the show talking about earlier this hour, I think it's totally valid to have complicated feelings, to have mixed emotions, to be conflicted on how you feel about this. Because while Durant certainly deserved a title, Durant's been a great soldier in the league, Durant has been a tremendous ambassador. He was a kind guy, a generous guy in Oklahoma City from all the stories that we hear. Him getting added to a team that won 73 games and had a 3-1 series lead in the NBA Finals and choked it away wasn't all that satisfying or all that interesting from a drama standpoint. Now, the ratings were very good. I'm sure last night they were very good for Game 4, so people wanted to see LeBron versus this team, Cavs versus Warriors, how it would wrap up. But when you really peel the curtain back and you really kind of look at it, there was a collective shrug of the shoulders. Like, okay, yeah, you're supposed to win the title. This is like the old Chris Rock bit. You're supposed to take care of your kid. What do you want, a cookie? Like, yeah, you're supposed to win the NBA Finals because you won 73 games the year before and then added Kevin Durant. What do you want, a cookie? Matt tweets, DA, LeBron came back to a Cavs team that had the number one overall pick in the draft. Kevin Durant is a fake. Boy, that's hard to believe. Yeah, LeBron James joined a Cavs team 3 years ago that had Anthony Bennett as his number one draft pick. I don't even know if Anthony Bennett's playing basketball anymore. I know it's not in the NBA, but is he even in, like, the CBA? Does that exist anymore? Did Isaiah Thomas put a knife through that heart? Like in China? Is he playing in, like, the Thailand NBA? When we return here on the show, last night was interesting because KD got a title and could be the start of a long run by the Warriors. But it's also interesting because it's the run that another team deserved more. DA, CBS Sports Radio, that story next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.